Very thankful this morning for the Word of God. This is Thanksgiving week, and a lot of times on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, the Lord will inspire with a message a little bit more commensurate with the where our hearts and minds are, remembering Thanksgiving. But we feel led this morning to continue with our series on Foundation of Truth, and Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, we will have a service here. There will be no Wednesday night service, but we will have service Tuesday night. It will be a regular preaching service, a little more along the lines of Thanksgiving. So I want to encourage each one to come back Tuesday night evening at 7 o'clock and bring someone with you if you can. I'd like to pick up the last two messages in this series on Foundation of Truth. We spoke about Jesus Christ being the foundation. And if we build our lives on anything other than Christ, we're going to get in trouble. So the question we have before us as we consider foundations of truth is, how are we supposed to live our lives? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live? What is the best way to live? Because there are so many ideas that are out there. There are so many philosophies that people have, so many ideologies, and many of them, they come and go. Families, they have, this is our family way. You've seen families. They have certain ways about them, and this is the family way. And those things can carry from generation to generation. So what are we going to base our lives upon this morning? What do you use to base the decisions you're making in your life? Because, see, there is a way, the Scripture says, that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are what? The ways of death. So just because I think something is right, or just because this is the way I want to go, does not mean it's going to take me the right direction. Which means we need a higher authority this morning. We need a higher authority than what man has to offer. We need this morning a higher authority than what the ministers say. Amen? We need a higher authority because of this. There needs to be a great respect for those that minister the Word of God. There should be a more respect than there is, I believe. There needs to be a greater respect for those that God has called to minister. But what are they supposed to minister? The Word of God. Those that minister are to be ministering the Word of God. They're not to be propagating their own ideas, their own opinions, because we can go to many, I mentioned last week, we could go to many different churches, even in this community, and you're going to hear different things taught. And everybody says they're right. So how do we know this morning? How are we supposed to know what is really right? So if you will turn with me to the book of John in the first chapter. In the first verse, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." So in the beginning was the Word. Do you want to know God's way this morning? Because men's way is going to change. I remember used to, they would say, an apple a day keeps what? The doctor away. And I believe I remember that as a young person on Newsweek. We used to get Newsweek. And I remember there's a picture of an apple on it. But then a few years later, do you know what I started hearing? Don't eat too many apples. In other words, there were reasons why they were saying maybe that's not, I'm not preaching against apples. Y'all understand now. But I just think about with health issues, they come out with things and say, well, this is good for you. This is good for you, and it's like the best thing since sliced bread. Just wait a while, And they'll come out and say, well, but you better back off a little bit. It's not quite as good as we thought. And, you know, it's like you hear on the radio when you hear advertisements come up and they're trying to sell a product. And then at the end, they say, but understand, this can cause this and this. And they go through this long list of things, of side effects, until sometimes people that are taking so much medicine, the best thing they could do is just quit taking it all, because this causes this side effect. And I'm not preaching against that either. But I'm saying that men's ideas, and even in science, our understanding, it changes. And it comes and it goes. And I don't want to base my eternal soul upon what a man said. Well, my pastor said, I want to appreciate it and I want to give due respect to it, but I want to know it's more than just what my pastor said. I want to know what God said. I want to know what God's purpose is for my life. I want to know what God's way is. And so the scripture says, in the beginning was what? Was the Word. Now, the Greek for that word in the Greek is logos. And it means word, but it means a word spoken. It means a doctrine, speech, or reasoning. So it is by our word that we communicate our will, isn't it? If I said, after we dismissed from services, everybody would pick up around them and put your books up, that would be very helpful. And I would really appreciate, that's my will. You knew my will by my spoken word. Now, in the beginning was the Word. So here's my question. Think just a little bit out of the box now. Did Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, was that from the beginning? It was not, was it? But in the beginning was the Word. So we didn't have what we today we call our Bible. This did not always exist. But in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Logos. Well, let's keep reading. It said the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, without Him. What is the Word then if it's not the Bible? If that's not what he's talking about there. It says the Word was with God and the Word what? Was God. So who or what was the Word? Logos is Jesus Christ. Remember I told you last week I couldn't get away from Jesus? I still can't get away from Jesus this morning. The Word of God is Jesus Himself. If we preach the Word, we are preaching Christ. If we preach because Jesus Christ was the will of God. He is the personification, if you will, but He is the essence of God's will for our life. He came to this earth and He lived life. He taught. And we say, what did He do? Jesus said, I speak not of myself, but I speak of the Father. Jesus is the Word. He is the expression of God's will for our life. So when we say, why are you doing what you are doing? You say, because the Word told me. We know the will of God because of the Word. And what is the Word? Or who is the Word? It's Jesus Christ Himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is Logos. Jesus was the Word of God. So when we preach the Word of God, we are preaching Jesus. That is the Word. He came into His own in verse 11. He came unto His own and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. To those that received the Word of God. This is the will of God. This is how I want you to live. This is what you need to do. That was manifested in Christ Himself. Those that received Christ or received the Word of God, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. We were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And verse 14 nails it down for us. It says, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. The Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the Word, and Christ is the manifestation of the will of God. So last week when we talked about the example of Jesus, the example that He left, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. See, He came to set an example for us that we should follow in His steps. So as we follow in His steps, we are keeping the Word of God. We are following the Word of God because that is God's will for our life. So what is God's will for your life this morning? What would Jesus do? Because He is the Word. If you have an attitude that Jesus would not have, you are not doing the will of God. If you are going places and doing things that Jesus would not do, you are not doing the will of God. The will of God is the Word of God, and the Word of God is Jesus. So we should not ask ourselves lightly this question, what would Jesus do? Because when we say, what would Jesus do, we are saying, what is the Word of God? What does God want us to do? His will was manifested in Jesus Christ. And this is because He was the embodiment of the Word, Jesus. So, and that is confirmed also in the book of Revelation. And I wish we had more time to dwell there, but in the book of Revelation, in the 19th chapter, John said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Who was that a picture of? That was a picture of Jesus, wasn't it? We read about the Jesus in the Scripture who was a lamb that was slain. We read about the Jesus who humbled himself and became obedient even the death of the cross. We read about the Jesus who was a servant to all. But here we see a picture of a Jesus, of the Jesus, that was going out to do war. We see Him as glorified and exalted. We see Him in a position of power, in a position of authority, recognizing and seeing Him the glory that was due His name, because Christ truly is a conqueror. If you want to conquer also and you want to follow Him, then follow the Word. Follow the Word. And then it said on his vesture, he said he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He had a name that was written that nobody knew. It's like they didn't understand the depth of it. And then let's keep reading. He said, and was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name, it's talking about Jesus, his name is called the Word of God. It's that same word in the Greek. It's logos. His name is the Word of God. So what does Jesus want? You see, that name that no one knew, now some of the Jews thought that that was Jehovah. And they said the actual the correct pronunciation of Jehovah, they said it was lost. And they will not use that name. They can't, because they say, we don't know that name. We don't know the depth of it. Some think that name that it said no man knew was different than what he said the name was the Word of God. And some feel it was the same. But regardless, he goes on to tell us that the name of this conqueror is the Word of God. Well, it's the divine nature of Christ Himself expressing the will of God to mankind. That is the Word of God. And I hope this morning that as we study these Scriptures, that we will start, maybe our paradigm needs to shift just a little bit. Because our call and our purpose to minister and to live is based upon the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? It's Jesus Christ, according to the Scripture. That is the Word of God. And so it changes when people begin to debate the veracity of letters that were written. When they question, well, what about this? Folks, the Word of God is Christ Jesus Himself, and that is His will. There is a divine nature, a depth that we will never know until we are resurrected with a glorified body. Then shall we know, even as also we are known. We behold Him, but we will understand and see His fullness when we have been resurrected. There are aspects of the divinity of Christ and the fullness of God that we will never understand until we're resurrected. But He gave us a glimpse of His glory, and He has called us to follow Him and be a partaker of that glory. We will not partake of the divine glory of Christ if we neglect the Word, His truth, His will, His way in our life. We can have church organizations. We can have fellowship. We can pat each other on the back and say we are exclusive and we are the body of Christ. No, the body of Christ is everybody that is following the Word. That's the body of Christ. And it's not going to come about by thinking that we are so spiritual because we have these traditions and we have these standards. Standards and traditions are not the foundation of truth this morning. There are people and groups of people and families that to look on them, they've got some good traditions. They've got some good standards, and yet inside they're full of carnality and sinfulness. What's the answer? Follow the Word. Follow Jesus Christ. Our traditions, and we may have more to say another time about this, but our traditions will not get us to heaven. It's going to take the Word of God, and that's Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, all of our traditions and standards, as good as they may or may not be, they're going to be in vain. So where's your salvation base this morning? Well, I don't do this, and I don't have this in my home, and I don't go there. Who cares? You are not saved by those things. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and loving God with all of our heart that, Lord, I want to follow the Word. And because of that, I might stop going over here. Because of that, I'm going to start doing this. Because of the Word, I live like I live. But it has to go beyond the ways of men. It has to go beyond church history this morning. It has to go beyond what mom and dad said and what grandma and grandpa, they were spiritual and they said it. Is that enough to get us to heaven? It's not enough this morning. It's going to have to be the Word of God. And the Word of God is Jesus Himself. He is the only one. As one man, Meyer, said, a commentator, and I really liked, I wrote it down. He said that Christ is the final utterance and complete revelation of the Most High. That's the picture we see in that 19th chapter of Revelation. It's a complete utterance. The final utterance and the complete revelation of the Most High. In other words, there will be no other. There will be no other Word of God. Do we understand that? Jesus Christ is the final Word of God. Now, Psalms 119 and verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. What God says is right and it's true and it's fixed. And it's not going to change. No religious group can change the Word. You cannot change Christ and His teaching. No ministry can change it. We can have all the ministers' meetings we want from any denomination, or the Church of God ministers can get together and they can vote all they want to do something or not to do something, and it does not change truth. It does not change the Word. And this is the reason, and I would be in the minority, at least my brother Clifford Wilson was in the minority when some of the ministers, they voted on something. I have no problem with recommending something and advising something. But many years ago, brother Clifford Wilson abstained from that. And it wasn't because he disagreed with it. And the same for me. If I vote on an issue of truth, I am lowering what that truth is. I don't want to vote on truth. Truth is going to be there whether I vote or not. You see what I'm saying? So if I came to you and said the ministers got together and we voted that we are not to do such and such, And you say, okay, well, we'll do that. This is the group, and to get along, and to we'll obey the ministry. Some of you wouldn't like that either, maybe. Maybe that's an attitude problem some have. But the point being is, if we do something because the ministers voted on it, and then someone says, why are you doing that? Well, the minister said not to do that. You raise your children that way, why don't you do that? Well, the church doesn't do that. Now it's not just the ministers, now it's the church. People say, I don't understand, where did that come from? Well, I'm doing it because a group of people decided it. Folks, that's a wrong foundation. That's a wrong foundation. The ministers can come together, and if the wolf is coming, and the ministers say, brothers and sisters, we want to caution you about something. This is dangerous. The wolf is coming. I'll be there. But my vote does not change truth, so I don't want to vote, because when you come and ask me, Brother Michael, why are you not doing that? I want to be able to go to a higher authority than a meeting that took place a year ago. I want to go back to a higher authority than what a man said. I want to go to the Word of God. And I want to be able to say, this is what the Lord says. This is what Christ did. And so because of that, I'm going to live this way. That's a whole lot greater authority to base my life on than what a minister said somewhere. Is not this right? Base our lives on the Word of God. He is the final authority. So there's not going to be another. Paul preached when he said, we mentioned it last week, he said, I came among you saving nothing, knowing nothing save what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And do you know what Paul preached? He preached the Word. What Word did he preach? There was no book of Matthew. There was no book of Timothy. There was no book of 1 Peter. Yes, they used the scripture of the Old Testament. But when it says they preached the Word of God, and you can go study it out, when it says they preached the Word, what were they preaching? They were preaching Jesus. They were preaching the things that Jesus taught us. They were preaching the things that God revealed through His Son when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How can we get away from Jesus this morning? He is the Word of God. So the scripture says the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but what? But the Word of our God shall stand forever. The Word of our God. Folks, there's no adding to or taking away from Christ this morning. He is the Word. So some say, but he was a prophet, and then Muhammad came and brought more of the Word of God. No. Christ was the final utterance of the Word of God. He was the Word. How can you add to it? How can you take away? Joseph Smith comes and says, I had a divine revelation from an angel in the golden tablets. And this is, yes, we accept this as we accept some of the Bible, but here is more from God. Christ is the final utterance, the final authority, so no man can add to or take away from truth. I am so thankful for that security this morning. I am so thankful. I appreciate the ministers of the past. I appreciate the heritage that we have as a people. I appreciate it. But the heritage in itself is not going to get me to heaven. The heritage helped me recognize the Word of God. The heritage and the teaching that I had helped me be able to see Jesus for who He was. But when you ask me a reason of the hope that I have this morning, it's not because of my heritage. It's not because of what my great-grandfather did. It's not because of what my parents did. It's because of the Word of God. And the Word of God and truth supersedes what happens in these four walls. And I want to go a step further this morning. It goes beyond what is written in this book that we call the Bible. All right, now it's getting quiet. The Word of God is settled in heaven. The world can take our Bibles. They can burn our Bibles, but the Word of God is fixed and it's settled. I thank God for that. That excites me this morning. I appreciate this, and we're going to talk about this, but I appreciate the Bible. But even if they took the book, The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. So when people, I know that when the Quran is damaged or things happen, there are those that it incites violence oftentimes because it's so respected. And yes, I think we need to be very careful and respectful of this. But do you know what? If you take it from me, I still have it in my heart. Because the Word of God has been written by the Holy Spirit in my heart. It's no longer on tables of stone. It's no longer just a heritage. The Word of God is Christ incarnate that came now through His Spirit. And He imparts His Word in my life. And it goes beyond the pages of what's written in this book. Because Christ is the Word. And you can never steal that from me. The world can never take it. They may take my Bible and they may burn it. But the Word of God is fixed and His will has not changed. Prophets will come and go. There will be Church of God ministers. There will be not just those from without. There will be those from within, that this has happened many times. All right? That there are those that get exalted and they begin to preach themselves. And they begin to preach their own ways. And they begin to draw a following after themselves. But I want us to understand that's not the words of life this morning. Jesus Christ is the Word. And we need to base our life on that. And so the use of the Word of God in the Scripture, the Word of God is used to talk about when Jesus Christ was preached. So when it says the Word of God grew and multiplied, it meant that the influence of Christ, the doctrine of Jesus spread and it increased. So then the logical question that would come would be, how does the Scripture then relate to the Word of God? Is that a fair question? So if the Word of God is Christ, how does this Bible relate to the Word of God? Well, the New Testament, as you all know, the New Testament is a combination of books or letters that were written from the apostles and from their close associates. That's so the book of Matthew and the book of Luke and Mark and 1st and 2nd Peter, those were written. Now, the Scripture says in 2nd Peter that no prophecy is of private interpretation, for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, that Scripture was relating to the Old Testament, okay? That was talking about the Old Testament. The early Christians also acknowledged that these books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, these books, they gained widespread acceptance from the apostles that wrote them, that they were authentic, that they were true, that they were based upon what they had seen and heard in what God had revealed. So that Scripture, that this was not just by the will of man, this was divinely inspired by God. I accept that this morning. I accept that this Scripture that we have was divinely inspired of God, because what these Scriptures do, they speak of the Word of God. That's what Scriptures do. Scriptures speak of the Word of God. When John wrote his book, he was speaking of his experience with the Word of God. So he wrote a letter, he wrote a book explaining, this is my experience of the Word of God. This is what Jesus was. This is what he did. So you see, this book is an expression of the Word of God. It's an expression of the Word of God. Teams of scholars have translated ancient texts to bring us what we call the Bible today. So the question is, are there any errors in here? Anybody brave enough to answer that question? Are there any errors? There's errors in what? Yeah, what kind of errors? Are there any errors of translation? Yes, there are some translation errors. There are some little, in the King James Version, you will find, and I really appreciate that they did this. There's a few places I wish they wouldn't have done it.
But when they added something, it's in italics. So in your New Testament, King James Version Bibles, when you see a word in italics, it meant the translators added it. I could have done without it in their editions in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in other words. They added something that's caused lots of confusion for people. But they added it. It was commissioned, the translation into the English version that we call the King James Version was authorized by King James in the early 17th century, so in the early 1600s. And it was given by scholars, studied it, they translated it, and I have to believe, see, King James was not a godly man, okay? But King James did not write the scripture. King James, people try to take away from the authenticity and the truth of the scripture. King James didn't write it. Okay? So that he commissioned it to be translated. Is anybody here a Greek scholar? The original scripture was written in Hebrew, in Aramaic, these letters in Aramaic and in Greek. But when it in translation, I believe God ordered it. You see, it's not happenstance that the scripture gained credibility and acknowledgement in the translation, in the manuscripts that were used. I believe this morning that was ordered divinely by God. And he ordered that to be done that way. Well, the King James, I want to say something about the King James Version, because there are some translation errors. And that's why it's very helpful to go back to the Hebrew and the Greek. And I do that. It's much easier today with technology than it was 30 years ago. So now as I study the scripture, I can have it right there and I can click on the word and the Greek comes up and the Hebrew comes up in the old. And I can study what did that word really mean, because we lose some of the essence in translation. Okay? But the core message of the gospel, the core message of Christ, was not lost. It was preserved for us in what we today call the Bible. The Word of God that can never change is Jesus Christ. The Bible is a combination of those letters that were written and those books by people that were moved by the Holy Spirit to relay to us their experience of the Word of God. And so when we say, how do I live my life and what should we do? I want to go back and see, what does the Word say? What did Jesus do? What did he teach? And so where do I go? Go to those that knew him the best. And this is where it relates to us, those that knew the Word. And that is where we base our lives today. I want to base my life on the Word this morning. I want to place it on truth. Some ask, what about what version is the best version to use? Is that a fair question? It has been, the King James Version is still considered the authorized version. It was studied from the original manuscripts. Some of the newer versions of the Bible are using other manuscripts to translate from. I believe God ordered what he did when he did. There are other manuscripts to study from, but I want to just give a caution about many of the newer translations. I won't say all of them, but it's pretty close to it. I took one of them and started doing a little study just to see what some of the differences were, even in the New King James Version. Because see, there's nothing holy about thee and thou, right? I mean, that was how they spoke in the 17th century. So I don't think Jesus was walking around necessarily saying thee and thou. That was just how they translated and spoke. So that's not the reason, is the archaic language. But and yet, there is something about the King James Version that has a poetic and reverent quality that has been lost in a lot of the newer translations. Many of the King James Version has a rich historical and cultural legacy. I will also say that there's something to be said about consistency in worship, in memorization. But more than that is that there are many translations today that are starting to water down the truth by means of their translations. They're watering it down. We bought some Bibles in another language. It was actually in Chichewa. We were buying, and we were giving a little mission report, and someone asked us, I had to just smile. I was like, Lord bless. They said, is it the King James Version? I was like, no, it's in Chichewa. You understand the point? The Word of God supersedes English or any language of this world. Okay? So it supersedes that. But something we have to be very careful about in the English, it's easier to say, well, this Bible's easier to read. But there is a lot of those Bibles, there are translation differences in them, and some of them intentionally deviate from the truth. Little things that you may say are insignificant, but long term it has an impact. I remember Brother Doug Wall and I were in Kenya, I believe it was at the time, and we were looking at some Bibles to buy. So they had two different translations, and Brother Doug's like, let's look at 1 John in the first chapter and see what it says. And so we had the brother translate for us, and it was watered down. We looked at one of their other translations, and it was correct. They're minimizing sin. They're minimizing holiness in many of the translations. So I just want to caution us to be very, very careful. God knew, I believe God ordered, and I am not like some people that would say there, because I know there are errors. Anytime man touches something, there's errors, right? Anytime man touches something, there are errors. There's going to be issues. So this book, there have been translation errors. There are some things that maybe they miss the historical context of something in translation. But the Word of God is bigger than that this morning. And the Word that He has, the Scripture that has been passed down to us as inspired by the Word of God and has been preserved for hundreds of years, I'm really not interested in ungodly men with agendas passing me on something else from the Word. I appreciate the Scripture that we've been blessed with. I appreciate it because it has given a picture of a Christ and of the Word of God that has worked successfully for thousands of years. And I'm very satisfied with that. I think we'll stop there and pick up another time. As we're not finished with Christ, we're not finished with the Word, which is Christ, and we will continue because the Word of God is the foundation upon which we should build our lives. When people say, why do you live this way? Because of the Word. And they say, how do you know that? Because I go back to those that wrote about it that knew Him best, and they told me what Jesus said. And I don't want someone perverting those words. I don't want someone twisting Him. And that's why it's still important to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I need to get in and study it and know what it means and what it calls for in my life, because I want to make it to heaven and I want to build my life on a firm foundation. Amen.